Hello again, biathlon fans, and welcome to Heartbeat, the U.S. Biathlon Podcast. I'm your host, Tom Kelly. Nearly 4 months ago, in late November, the BMW IBU World Cup Biathlon Tour kicked off in Östersund, Sweden. This weekend, the world's greatest biathletes will be competing head-to-head in America as the World Cup Tour comes to Utah's Soldier Hollow. Stay tuned, as in this episode of Heartbeat, we'll take you behind the scenes. A special thanks to our Heartbeat sponsors, Aaron's, the King of Snow, Maloya, outfitting the U.S. biathlon team, and Paul Smith's College, offering education and sport training in the heart of New York's Olympic region. It's been 5 years since the Biathlon World Cup visited America. Over the next 2 weeks, the 2024 tour will wrap up with World Cups in Soldier Hollow and the following week in Canmore. As teams were arriving in Salt Lake City's International Airport on Monday, we got with Utah Olympic Legacy Foundation Chief Operating Officer Callum Clark, a veteran of over two decades managing Olympic-level events, and Chief of Competition for the World Cup, U.S. Biathlon's Director of Operations, Sarah Studebaker Hall. This episode will go behind the scenes to explore the importance of the event and what it took to get it back to the USA. Now let's head to the beautiful new competition management building at the Olympic venue of Soldier Hollow with Callum Clark and Sarah Studebaker Hall. It is World Cup time, and we are at Soldier Hollow this week with Heartbeat. And joining me, we have two wonderful guests. First of all, Sarah Studebaker Hall, Director of Operations for U.S. Biathlon, making your third appearance on Heartbeat. Thanks for joining us, Sarah.
Yeah, of course. I just love being here with you, Tom.
And the Chief Operating Officer of the Utah Olympic Legacy Foundation, my longtime friend, Callum Clark. Callum, thanks for joining us.
I feel like a rookie, but I'm looking forward to this conversation.
Oh, you're going to do just fine. You know, the cool thing for me driving in, we've had a pretty good winter here in Utah. And to drive in and see fresh snow across all of the mountainsides, it's beautiful here.
Yeah, it's just a beautiful location. You know, that's one of the things about this venue that is super special and really different, I think, from a lot of venues, is we've got this beautiful view and you can see the whole race trail from this central area, especially for biathlon.
Yeah, it's an amazing place. And Callum, you're in charge of the event. Did you turn on the snow at some point?
A couple of days ago, we were looking around and with a little bit of warm weather and it was feeling a little bit melty. And our director of operations here, they said, you know what? What we need now is just a little bit of snow to brighten this place up, which is exactly what's happened. And to see the whites and the hills, it is truly spectacular. I feel lucky every time I come to this venue.
So we are recording this on Monday evening. The event starts on Friday, so we're just a few days out. Sarah, when did the teams start arriving?
The teams actually just got on the ground a couple of hours ago. So they are in the U.S. They're just getting to their hotels and they'll have their first chance to ski the courses and check out the range and see the venue tomorrow morning.
Cool. And Callum, your team right now, finishing preparations, everything's all ready?
Yeah, we have a fair bit to do, but we feel good about where we are. It's been a long road in preparation, but tomorrow morning we'll have our grooming crew out early tomorrow morning to make sure we make the most of this natural snow. And we want to put our best foot forward for these international athletes, that they have a really good experience when they first get on snow.
Well, there's a lot of new things here at Soldier Hollow, and we're going to get to that in a little bit. But Callum, maybe a little bit of background. You have been working here. I think you're on your fifth anniversary with Utah Olympic Legacy Foundation. But give us a little sense of your background and how you got into sport and how you found your way here to America.
You can hear my accent, of course. I always get the head tilt when I first start talking, particularly in the winter environment. I'm Australian. I worked at the Sydney Games as an Australian. I'm an Olympic fan, as you well know, Tom. And I was young, just fresh out of college, and I bashed on that door until they let me in. I was lucky enough to work at the Aquatic Centre. And from that Sydney Olympics, they literally scooped up a whole bunch of us and said, how would you like to come and help out at the Salt Lake Olympics? And I was young, single, and I had no future job plans. And I said, oh, yeah, sure, why not? I had a bit of a background in winter sports, so I was really keen to work on Winter Olympics. It was kind of a dream for me. And in coming to Utah, I was blown away about the unique nature of this place. And I'd been lucky enough to travel around quite a few winter areas in the world and went back home. And through just a random set of circumstances, I was coming back through Utah 2 years after the Games, And a friend of mine was working coach's education at US Ski and Snowboard, and we're at a dinner party, and he said, you should apply to take a job in the events department. And I said, sure, why not? Put my name down to be the president of the United States at the same time. I probably have as much chance. But the US Ski and Snowboard took a chance with me as an event manager, and I managed to stick with that for 17 years at US Ski and Snowboard from 2004 to 2019. Primarily working in the events world, so I was managing the rights and responsibilities for alpine, freestyle, snowboard, World Cup, Olympic trials. Tremendous job, a lot of excitement. And then in 2019, after the freestyle, freeski, and snowboard world championships that were held in Park City, where I was chair of that organised committee, I made the move over to the UOLF. So here I am.
So were you here for the last World Cup 5 years ago for biathlon?
That was my first day, Sarah. And you were, I think I first met you. Closing ceremonies of the 2019 Snowboard Freestyle and Freeski World Championships was on the Sunday evening. The Monday was opening day for the Biathlon World Cup. And Colin, our CEO, said, take some time. You need a rest. And I couldn't help myself. As another event, I'd come down and check it out. And I was in. It was great. And I got to work alongside Sarah. And those were my first days at the ULF.
Let's talk a little bit more about the Utah Olympic Legacy Foundation. This is something that's really helped to preserve the spirit of 2002 and preserve these amazing venues that we have across Utah. But tell us a little bit about the Utah Olympic Legacy Foundation and its role here in sport.
Yes, it's a really, really amazing legacy, and it's in the name of the 2002 Games. At the conclusion of the 2002 Games, there was a profit that was set aside as a legacy fund to help support the conduct of, primarily, it started off as two legacy Olympic venues that the organizing committee knew that was going to be difficult to upkeep and maintain because they are not really financially viable day-to-day. That was the Utah Olympic Park with the ski jumps and bobsled track, as well as the Utah Olympic Oval. Soldier Hollow Nordic Center was its own foundation. And in 2015 or 16, the Soldier Hollow Nordic Center fell under the umbrella of the OLF. This legacy fund is the fund that the organization draws from. The venues run at a financial loss, and the passive investments that are made help subsidize those costs. But really importantly about the UOLF is that we are not just a venue management group. Under the leadership of Colin Hilton, he has two comments. One is that these need to be gathering points for the community, really community gathering centers. So a lot of community events, a lot of community activity at all of our venues. And we're also here to further those sports that we are responsible for. So we have a thriving Team Soho here that Sarah, until she took on the job with US Biathlon, was taking charge of. In biathlon and cross-country skiing, we do hockey programs and speed skating and learn to skate and figure skating. We are here to make those sports accessible and fun and as vibrant as these venues are.
So, Sarah, you have a long background as an athlete, biathlete, an Olympian. Give us a little 411. We've had you on the show before, but for listeners who might not know you, give us a little background on yourself as an athlete.
Yeah, for sure. So, as you said, I was a two-time Olympian in biathlon. I went to the 2010 and 2014 Games, retired after that and started coaching, both in cross-country. I worked at the University of Alaska Anchorage, and then came down here to Utah to take on Team Soldier Hollow, cross-country team, and then pivoted from there into my job with US Biathlon. And kind of parallel to that, I've been also working as an official, so in a volunteer capacity, working towards my technical delegate's license, which I got a couple of years ago. So I'm a technical delegate with the International Biathlon Union, going to other events around the world for that. And, you know, since 2019, have had my international referee license, which allowed me to be the assistant chief of competition in 2019, and then the chief of competition for our 2022 Youth and Junior World Championships, and now for this event for the 2024 World Cup.
So what's your specific role here?
I'm the chief of competition for this event. So I have I'm in charge of essentially all of the field of play stuff. So I have a really great group of people working with me on the range and the course and timing in the stadium. And we make sure that the races run as they're supposed to.
Sarah, you've been a big advocate for getting more women into officiating and coaching as well in biathlon. Can you give us a little progress update on that since we talked last?
Yeah, for sure. We have really made, I would say, significant progress on that. We've gotten several women in through our U.S. Biathlon Level 1 and 2 coaching and officials education, and hopefully getting a few more people through our international referee test. We had Maddie Fanouf take that test and pass a couple of years ago. So she's one of our licensed referees there. And then at this event, you know, a couple years ago, we didn't have any other women serving on the competition group. And we have two that will be joining us this year, one in the competition office. And then Susan Dunkley, who of course will be well known to our listeners, is assistant chief on the course. So it'd be really great to have her working on that side of things this time.
Now, I know you left Soldier Hollow to move back east. I know it's great for you to come back out here, but U.S. Biathlon now has established Utah as its headquarters. Can you give us an update on that?
Yeah, we are so excited to call Utah our home for our administrative operations here. And of course, this beautiful building, which is nearly done, is going to be our home very soon. So we will have a great presence here. And, you know, of course, alongside the Utah Olympic Legacy Foundation, it's just a wonderful place to be.
One of the things that really struck me when you made that announcement this fall is that you've also identified other areas of the country that serve an official role of some importance with U.S. Biathlon. Can you run through a little bit of that and the strategy behind that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're a big country, so it's really important to us that we have kind of a foothold in a lot of different areas. Of course, we have our junior team, which is based up in Montana and Bozeman at the Crosscut Mountain Sports Center. And that's a really great venue for us. It's kind of coming online, growing every year. They've put in some more pavement, working on potentially a snowmaking plan going forward. And then, of course, our national team is based in Lake Placid, and they have the Olympic Training Center there and have done a lot of work. They will be having an IBU Cup in 2026, which is really great. We'll be bringing the International Biathlon Union family back to the U.S. again. Really excited to host them there in Lake Placid.
And Callum, let's talk a little bit more about Soldier Hollow. This is a place that has a great history. Most of us in Utah know it from 2002. But what's the origins of this place? How did the name Soldier Hollow come about?
Yeah, it's a really interesting story. We sit on state park lands, and when it was discovered and identified as an Olympic venue, it was a sheep grazing area, and sheep and goats were grazing in the space. The history of this place is apparently before Utah became a state, Union soldiers would camp here in this protected hollow before heading down onto the Great Salt Lake and on the Oregon Trail. This place has had a history of activity and of grazing. And then, as you said, in the lead up of the 2002 Games, they identified this as an ideal location because of its aspect, topography and elevation for a Nordic center. It became the site for the 2002 Games for cross-country skiing and biathlon.
So this venue has been used continually since the 2002 Games. What are some of the other events that you've had here that might be interesting for listeners?
We go with all of the above, from national championships, Western Region championships. We host the National Guard do an annual biathlon event here, and then as we go into the shoulder season in the summer, we host the Soldier Hollow Bike Fest, which is a fantastic mountain biking program. The Soldier Hollow Classic. This is a great legacy of a longtime general manager Howard Peterson, who saw this place as a place to bring the community and the community activation. To have sheepdogs here in a three-day sheepdog trial, attracting 20,000 to 30,000 spectators. That's a highlight for us in the summer. In the fall, we do fun runs. We do color runs. Again, all of the above. Weddings, parties, everything.
I know the cross-country world and the biathlon world also looks every October to Schützenski. Can you give us a background on that?
Yeah, that's a really fun event and growing very quickly. And this was done in the onset with Sarah as something to do to bring the communities of both biathlon and cross country together in that critical fall training period when traditionally the teams would come here and do fall training where temperatures are ideal. They use our roller ski trails and turning a time trial into an event, turning a time trial into a community fun event for the youth to saddle up beside the national teams for cross-country skiers to try biathlon. And then we've added a fun run to it as well. Add in the shoots and ski, a little bit of a tongue-in-cheek on the in the Oktoberfest style, break out some German beer, serve some brats and have a good time.
It is a good time. Sarah, from an athletic viewpoint, in the strategic plan for US Biathlon, you have an initiative to really bring the cross-country and biathlon communities together. How has Schutz and Ski really helped with that?
Yeah, you know, our feeling with development for young athletes is that if we can expose them to biathlon, then it just gives them another option, another opportunity to pursue winter sports. So, you know, we think that the more exposure that we can get young people to biathlon, the better. So cross country is already coming here. They're already having their camps and races. We're already coming here having our camps and races. If we can scooch everything just a little bit closer together and overlap a little bit more, then we can all benefit from that. And it's great for both for the youth, but also for our elite athletes because, you know, cross country's obviously got some very strong athletes. We've got some very strong athletes. Everyone benefits from being able to train together. And, you know, at the heart of it, they're very, very similar sports. We add shooting, they do classic skiing. Otherwise, we're the same thing. So, you know, if we can have more opportunities to work together towards common goals of more kids involved in sport and more medals that we can win at the games, then all the better for all of us.
Just as an outside observer, it just seems to me like over the past few years, there are more and more examples of biathletes in cross-country and cross-country skiers finding biathlon. I know that this strategic plan is relatively new, but are you sensing that you have a little traction here?
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And, you know, for us, the start of this was always, of course, that cross-country has well-established with really good regional racing programs, really good junior national championships. So it only made sense for our youth athletes to also be doing cross-country so that they could get more opportunities just to race because they learn when they race, whether they're racing with a rifle on their back or not. And now, you know, as we are seeing more athletes at the high levels come in from cross country, switching over to biathlon and having really good results at World Cups and IBU Cup levels, then I think we see more people thinking that way and thinking, hey, you know, maybe I'm not the strongest classic skier. Or I'm almost there, but I'm not quite going to make that national team. And maybe I could try biathlon and get even better.
Sarah, let's talk about the World Cup that's coming up this weekend. We haven't had one in 5 years here in America. The IBU Biathlon World Cup is one of the most established tours in all of winter sport. How big a deal is it to get this event here to America again?
Yeah, it's a huge deal. And, you know, it's really, really exciting to be able to host this here because this venue is just so beautiful and it's really a great place to be. But, you know, more than that, I think it's really important for U.S. biathlon community to be able to host a World Cup because biathlon is the most televised winter sport in Europe. When we had our last World Cup, we had more viewers worldwide than the Super Bowl. And so it's a huge deal. It's a huge deal for Utah. It's a huge deal for U.S. biathlon and, of course, for the Utah Olympic Legacy Foundation. And for us, you know, we get to have the local kids come and be forerunners, come and help and volunteer. We get to have, you know, the U.S. biathlon community. We have so many people coming into town just to help with this event. And, you know, you can't be something that you can't see. So bringing this here and being able to see their idols race on trails that they get to race on too, that they get to ski on every day is really inspiring. And, you know, we saw that a little bit with the youth and junior championships. We had kids who foreran and volunteered at the 2019 World Cup, and then they got to race in the youth and junior championships on these same courses in 2022. So, you know, our hope, of course, is that the 2034 Olympic athletes are out here volunteering and helping and seeing what they are aspiring to be.
Sarah, do you think that you'll have biathletes from clubs around America coming here to spectate this weekend?
Yeah, for sure we will. I mean, you know, in 2019, we had pretty good turnout. It was definitely a little bit smaller than we had hoped. But this year already, we have VIP and premium seating is all sold out. General admission is free. And so we anticipate that there will be quite a few people coming. And we know it's a big deal for our community that we have this World Cup. We know there's a lot of people coming, you know, just to volunteer, just to help be in the jacket, be on the range, help make the event happen. But for sure, there will also be tons of people here just to watch and see this event.
I want to explore a little bit what it takes to get the event here? What work had to be done behind the scenes? Callum, I'll start with you and then go to you, Sarah. But what needed to be done in this partnership between Utah Olympic Legacy Foundation and US Biathlon to bring this event here?
The amazing thing about the IBU is they have a great strategic plan and a very, very clear objectives on their calendar. I believe it was 4 years ago that there was an outreach by the IBU through US Biathlon calling for bids for the World Cup. We did a deep dive on the financial analysis of that event with the experience of 2019 in partnership with Canada, or strategically we said to Canada, we're in if you're in, and they said we're in also, so that we could put forward a North American combination of starts, and then proceeded with the bid. That bid took about 6 months for it to go through their processes and review and votes, and then we were awarded the World Cup. As always with these events, the URLF is busy. We took that, went great, we're going to the World Cup, and that was pre-COVID. Set that down and got to work on the day-to-day. But I would say 18 months ago, that's when we really started picking up the ball again and looking with our partners at US Biathlon at the details of what we were going to deliver, how we were going to deliver it, how we were going to stand on the shoulders of the last two successful events we hosted here to really deliver a great event.
Sarah, from USBA's perspective, how has this partnership worked to bring the event back here? And what did you guys have to do in kind of the governance side internationally to get this event back after 5 years?
Obviously, it's a challenge anytime you're bringing a whole bunch of people with rifles from Europe to the United States. So there's a, you know, both the mental blocks of people just feeling apprehensive about traveling that far, and also the logistical challenges that we have to overcome. So, you know, we worked really hard with IBU to make sure that that could be as smooth as possible. And there's obviously going to be some challenges along the way, and we, you know, hope to minimize those and weather those as best we can. But, you know, it's really important for us. You know, IBU wants to grow the sport of biathlon. You know, biathlon in the U.S. is a ripe place to do that. We have a lot of runway to grow this sport in this country. And so that fits really nicely with IBU's goals there. You know, that said, I think the great thing about this venue is that they host a lot of different things all the time. So they've got that going for them. The challenge is that the last time we hosted a big event was in 2022, and the last time we hosted a World Cup was in 2019. And it's always a little bit of a challenge to get all of those things going, get the dust dusted off, and get things rolling as they should be for this high-level event. But, you know, we've got a great team, and it's a really good partnership, and everybody's, you know, Callum's out there with a shovel, Colin Hilton's out there scrubbing floors, getting the building done. And so it's really all hands on deck, and you know that no one's above doing the work, so it's really good.
We're going to explore more as to what's going to go on here this weekend in just a minute. We'll take a short break, and we'll be right back on Heartbeat. In each episode, Heartbeat brings you insightful stories about one of the most exhilarating of all Olympic sports. US Biathlon thanks each of its sponsors that help us bring you each and every episode of the Heartbeat podcast. Maloya is the official apparel provider of US Biathlon. Thanks to Maloya, our team is outfitted in high-quality, beautiful apparel and race gear. Not only does the U.S. Biathlon team stand out, but we race in comfortable, breathable suits that inspire confidence. Check it out at MaloyaClothing.com. As an official sponsor of U.S. Biathlon, Aaron's is committed to supporting the growth of the sport in the USA. The so-called King of Snow is a global leader in snow removal equipment that keeps facilities and courses clear for training and competition. The Aaron's Nordic Center in Brilliant, Wisconsin is an official U.S. Biathlon National Training Center, further proving Aaron's commitment to growing biathlon in America. You can learn more at aaronsnordic.com. As the official education partner of U.S. Biathlon, Paul Smith's College takes pride in the programs that it has established to offer athletes a college education and sports-specific training, all nestled in New York's Adirondacks. Its reputation and standing as a college aligns with U.S. Biathlon's goals to support collegiate biathletes as they strive for both academic and athletic success. From an outstanding trail network to its 8-point biathlon range, Paul Smith's College is a great environment for athletes who want a small college located in a sports-centric region. To learn more, go to paulsmithsbobcats.com. Now let's get back to this episode of Heartbeat. And we're back on Heartbeat here in the venue at Soldier Hollow, IBU Biathlon World Cup coming up this weekend. Callum, you've worked major events around the world. You've worked Olympic Games, World Championships, and more. What goes into the production of an event like a biathlon World Cup?
It all starts from the premise that we're hosting a sporting event. So everything comes out of the field of play and the athletes. So we start with that first, ensuring that we have the right venues, the venues that are correct. And we've got the infrastructure in place, the snowmaking and the cats and the range is being well maintained in order to facilitate a world-class event. Without that first element, we won't have a credible event. And then the layers of the onion begin from, as Sarah rightly pointed out, bringing in a large number of athletes into the country with firearms is not the most straightforward thing. So we have, with our partners at the US Olympic and Paralympic Committee, been working very diligently in government relations to make sure that security was aware that we had our 6 NIA forms, that we had good partnership with the ATF with the approval of the firearms coming in, ensuring that we have a really robust logistical plan for our broadcast partners so that we can load this venue in and the venue is showcased in its best possible light is so important. And then we keep going. The physical facilities, the athlete facilities, and then the last piece, and it's the icing on the cake, it's the people. As Sarah said, we've had a great relationship here with US Biathlon, and through their leadership have developed a new wave of officials in key positions in our chiefs. And that ownership and that sense of understanding of what needs to be delivered and when is the magic sauce. You combine that with a very, very interested community of biathlete families that have traveling in to support this event in a voluntary capacity, along with our local community who just want to be involved. They love hosting international events. We have 350-odd volunteers that are supporting this event, and that is truly the icing on the cake that makes it all happen.
Callum, you have been promoting this event very heavily across Utah in the past months. What do you expect for spectators, and how can spectators have the best experience when they come to the World Cup here at Soldier Hollow?
As Sarah said, we were very, very pleased. In winter sports, it's really unusual to sell tickets to an event. And we started with a premium seating area. We promoted that in the late summer, and we have been blown away by that level of interest, both domestically and internationally, and we've sold out. As Sarah said, it's open to the public, free, general admission. A couple of pointers: get your Waze or your Google app to make sure you know where you're going. Carpool. We are trying to be as low a carbon footprint as possible. Dress warmly. Bring your own water bottle. We are trying not to have single-use plastics. And we have volunteers that will direct you. You'll have the opportunity to be in and around the stadium, out on the course, so you can get out on the Cabin Hill, for example, and watch these athletes up close and really have a great time. Beyond that, we also have a whole lot of activities. We have two free concerts on Saturday and Sunday. We have a festival area. We have a mechanical bull for those people who want to be throwing off a mechanical bull. We have activities. We have laser rifles so that you can try your hand at biathlon yourself. So again, trying to build this out as a great sporting event, but also a chance for the community to have fun and enjoy themselves.
Sarah, as an athlete and a two-time Olympian, you know the action down on the track and in the range. What advice would you give to spectators for this weekend as to where some interesting angles or spots to watch the competition?
Yeah, you know, we are really lucky. We have a really great schedule this weekend. So we have races Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We have relay racing happening on both Friday and Saturday, as well as sprint racing, which are short individual start races. And then on Sunday, we have pursuit races. And they're all just super fun to watch and really easy, even if you don't know anything about biathlon, to watch and to follow. So, you know, of course, come right up and I would say start in the range and watch from the stadium here, check things out, watch how things are happening within the stadium and then also on the shooting. And then, you know, this is a great venue. You can just walk right over to the other side of the spectator area and see the trails and watch these skiers, because they truly are the best skiers in the world out there on these courses. And these are tough courses, so they're going to give them a run for their money.
Sarah, you've been to many of, or really all of the great biathlon venues around the world. Any experiences that you can relate of, you know, from either as an athlete or in your current role at being in one of these great biathlon venues during a World Cup?
Yeah, you know, biathlon, as I said, it's so popular in Europe. And so the memories that I have of being able to race in some of these really historic venues like Ruhpolding and Antholz are just the fans are so loud, and it's so exciting to ski in front of people that are so excited to watch you. So if you do come out this weekend and you watched, like, do not be quiet, be as loud as you can. It's really exciting for the athletes to hear fans cheering for them. And, you know, when you get to race at home, because I was lucky enough to be able to do that in my career and, you know, unfortunately not here in Utah, but in Northern Maine, but it was a beautiful venue there in Presque Isle and in Fort Kent. And being able to race at home is so special. And most of these athletes will get the chance to do that once, maybe twice in their career. And so, you know, being able to race in front of that home crowd where they're really cheering for you as an American is, there's nothing like it. So, you know, I think it'll be a really special experience for our athletes this weekend.
Callum, as we record this, we are in the new competition building here at Soldier Hollow, a dramatic expansion of the building that's been here since 2002. Can you give us a quick little virtual tour of this amazing new facility?
Yeah, thanks, Tom. We are so excited that this is the pre-unveiling of our new center here. This is a 20,000 square foot expansion on really what was initially built as purely functional timing and scoring and officiating space. The competition management building was built purely for that reason, for the 2002 games. We are now expanding this to for it to also have our Nordic Center and our day facilities. So the expansion is three levels. The lower ground level will have a gymnasium, and the gymnasium is here to service both Team Soho as well as US biathlon athletes with a state-of-the-art facilities, as well as our rental center that will allow kids to and adults to come in easily, rent their gear and get out onto the snow easily and effectively. Above that, on the ground level, we have an amazing new day lodge. And what is so special about this space is these floor-to-ceiling windows that look out both to our biathlon range and to the cross-country side to the south. And then above that, we have an event center. So the idea here, again, is a place for the community to get together on a day-to-day basis to enjoy, if you are a committed athlete, to be able to train here or to enjoy yourself and recreate, but also to be able to flip very quickly to become a world-class event center.
And one of the reasons that, I mean, the building will serve multiple purposes, but we hope that in 10 years, it'll be serving in Olympics. Where does that stand?
Yes, that's a very good point. This building is built for everyday use, but it has been, the architects had worked extremely closely with us to know that this is fully flexible for a future Olympic Games. And it's an exciting time in Utah and Olympic sports. Thursday, the Olympic bid team submitted the bid file for the 2034 Olympic Games. The UOLF is partnered with the bid committee, and that was an amazing process to go through that documentation. I know there is a sense of relief that documentation is now in Lucerne and over with the IOC, but this expansion and this development is both a precast, but also it's another chapter in what Utah, I believe, does so well. We are building things for everyday use. We are building things for long-term, lifelong athletic development. That will also be an asset for Olympic Games.
Sarah, from a USA perspective, who should we watch this weekend here at Soldier Hollow?
Yeah, you know, we're coming off of a super successful World Championships. You know, we had our men's relay team have their best ever World Championship finish in fifth place in Novo Mesto, and that's the very first event that's going to kick off our races here. So we're really excited, of course, to watch them. Deidre Irwin as well on the women's side is having a really great season, and Campbell Wright on the men's side is really I think every weekend has had a best ever, you know, since World Championships. So we're really looking forward to seeing some awesome results. And of course, everyone gets a little extra adrenaline from racing at home. So hopefully a few more people can pop some season bests here in Soldier Hollow.
Callum, how about a quick snapshot of the schedule coming up this weekend?
Right. Yes. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. As Sarah said, we are working through a flip-flop of relay and pursuit. Men start with the relay on Friday at 12:25 start. Then we have at 3 p.m. we have the women's sprint, 7.5 kilometers, all action right out of the gate. On Saturday, we start with a women's relay. This is four athletes, 6 kilometer each. Then returning to men for the men's sprint. Then on Sunday, really exciting program with the pursuit. Personally, I'm, a recreational spectator for biathlon, unlike Sarah, who's an expert. But I've really enjoyed watching the pursuit as a really, really great way to cap off the weekend. So again, 10 a.m. for the women's pursuit and 10:50 for the men.
Should be a great weekend. We're going to close it out on Heartbeat with our final segment we call On Target. Sarah, I'm going to go to you first. We had a surprise mascot 5 years ago. Tell us about that and what's up for this time around.
Yeah. So, our mascot here at Soldier Hollow has become the dinosaur. Of course, lots of fossils here in Utah, so very fitting. But it happened to us a little accidentally. We had one of the volunteers put a dino suit on and chase around some athletes during training and then grab an American flag for the races. And
on skis?
He was on foot, but he was chasing the athletes that were on skis. And so he grabbed an American flag, and there's just some really awesome shots from 2019 of him running alongside athletes with an American flag in his little dino hands. And we anticipate seeing this dino here again. And of course, we've got some small little dino friends who will be joining us on the range, and so you should look for them.
Do you have some dino merchandise?
Oh man, I don't know about that.
Yeah, see, that you always the good
There's
idea.
Still time.
this
we
week.
Needed to talk to you 2 months ago.
We have 4 days. Callum, I'm going to get off the mascot kick here, but you have a great background in running major events over the years. Any unusual stories or story that you might want to share that you've experienced?
I'm going to do one that's directly attributed to IBU and biathlon. Many organizations have in their job descriptions other duties as assigned. And one of the great moments was for me to assign Colin Hilton, our CEO, with a duty. He had to go out and find 3 bulletproof vests that were required for broadcasts. These camera people are in very safe locations, but another layer of safety for these cameramen. But he is working with our local law enforcement, and we are procuring and borrowing from the great people of Wasatch County bulletproof vests. So that's always a little surprise.
You know, you never think of things like this. You know, we sit and we watch it on television or watch the live stream, and we don't think about how did they get that image on the range?
Mm-hmm. That's right. It's a really interesting point that these boxes that are protected for the cameras and little slots for the camera lens to slot through. But as always with broadcasts, they know exactly what they need. They are looking for exactly the right angle so they can get the perfect shot of these athletes.
If folks at home want to watch this weekend, Sarah, where can they do that?
Yeah, so there's all of our IBU races are live stream available here in the U.S. So you can go to biathlonworld.com and get a link from there. Watch live on Eurovision. And so you should be able to see them there.
Great opportunity. Callum Clark, Sarah Studebaker-Hall, thanks to both of you for joining us on Heartbeat. We look forward to a great event here at Soldier Hollow this weekend as the IBU World Cup comes to America.
Thanks very much, Tom.
Thanks, Tom.
It is indeed a big weekend for biathlon. And if you can't make it to Soldier Hollow, you can watch the competition on live streaming. Just go to biathlonworld.com. Heartbeat is brought to you by U.S. Biathlon and its dedicated team of sponsors. A special thanks to Aarons, the King of Snow, Maloya outfitting the U.S. Biathlon team, and Paul Smith's College offering education and sport training in the heart of New York's Olympic region. And a shout out to all of U.S. Biathlon sponsors, including Maloya, Aarons, Paul Smith's College, Otto Ader, Lapua Ammunition, Rain, Pure Mountain Spring Water, and Polar Beverages. That's it for this episode of Heartbeat. If you can, give us a review or hit the favorite button so you can stay up to date on the latest episodes as we continue to tell the stories of the people behind biathlon. And don't forget to tune in March 8, 9, and 10 to watch the World Cup live from Soldier Hollow at biathlonworld.com. I'm Tom Keller, your host for Heartbeat, the U.S. Biathlon Podcast. We'll see you trackside at Soldier Hollow.